Hello, and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
Riley, I'm enjoying this pumpkin drink you brought me.
I am very glad you're enjoying the pumpkin drink I brought you.
Taylor, did I tell you we have pumpkin drinks?
Is it pumpkin drink season already?
Well, yeah. I think all the coffee companies decided time doesn't matter anymore.
That's true.
I think the quote from Dunkin' was, there's only one thing some people can count on to be certain every fall, and that's the arrival of pumpkin drinks. And we want to just bring that certainty into the world a little bit sooner.
Yeah, it is not the pumpkin drink that everyone talks about.
It's not a PSL.
No.
Oh, it's like pumpkin in your coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of pumpkin flavor.
But it is good. I had a pumpkin beer over the weekend, so I guess.
It's pumpkin season.
It was spicy. It had chilies in it with the pumpkin.
Really, so that is really pumpkin spice.
Mm-hmm. Actual spice.
I'm all for the extension of the Halloween season in both directions. Like, it can run right up on summer and it can run right till Christmas. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I recently subscribed to Shudder, which is like a horror streaming service, and they're doing 2 months of horror movies. They're just starting Halloween in September. Sorry, September, you got nothing else to offer, so we're making you spooky, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Charlie asked me the other day, can we just make it Christmas time? And I sat there for a second thinking,
why not?
I mean, I guess
I know guess people that have already put up their trees, just like, why does it matter anymore? We're all going to be here for until Christmas, so we might as well start it early.
Just surrender to it.
Yeah.
That's actually, you know, maybe that's a really positive way of looking at the meaningless quality time has adopted in all this. Like, well, if time has no meaning, then it could be Christmas every day. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is true for anyone else, but I've noticed that here, usually our Augusts are still like our hottest summer days.
Yeah.
But recently we've been having some fall-ish weather. Not chilly yet, but just like a cool breeze and not super hot days.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
No, it's been nice. It's been nice. I don't... It's all played havoc with my garden. My garden's a disaster now. So. The cucumbers are growing round. What does that mean?
Chubby boys.
Yeah, they're coming in like little round sort of...
like a
teardrop shaped sort of like
that's cute.
Well, I mean,
that doesn't sound right.
Well, no, I mean, it makes me it makes me think something's wrong. Well, I mean, like, I already read about why all my watermelons collapsed. I know what happened with my watermelons. There wasn't enough calcium, which according to the internet either comes from over or underwatering. So
rookie
thanks
mistake.
For that. I either over or underwatered them.
The only thing you know you didn't do is water them the right amount.
That's the one thing I know for sure, is they didn't get the right amount of water, so they didn't have enough calcium. So when the blossoms fell off, the ends of them collapsed.
No.
I know. It was very sad. So I had to do away with the watermelons, but they're compost.
That's good.
It's a good addition to my compost.
You start growing pumpkins now, I don't know how fast things happen. Can you have pumpkins by pumpkin time?
No. You know, we got pumpkin seeds, and we were supposed to plant them, but the dirt around our house sucks. So I would have to like till an area and load in a bunch of dirt outside of my little garden box to grow pumpkins too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was overwhelming. But next year, I promised, because Charlie was very much into growing pumpkins. Next year, I promise we would grow pumpkins. I've learned this was a practice year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a trial run.
If anyone would like to write us an email, though, and tell me why my cucumbers are growing in round, I would really... They weren't initially. Like, they were normal cucumber-shaped cucumbers.
Do you think they were, like, really happy at first, really healthy, and then something happened, and they were just like, we don't have the energy to keep going at this rate?
Well, the vines look kind of scraggly, and I'm watering them. Nothing changed with the dirt. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I got rid of the watermelons.
You know, I love hearing about your garden, but I feel like no one is talking about the this week and the momentous occasion that arrives at the end of this week.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Which is my birthday.
Oh, your birthday.
This is the last episode we'll record that I'm a teenager.
Hey, that's true. Wow.
This is a big deal for this podcast. This podcast started because I was a teenager.
Do you have any like last minute teen advice or teen info or insight or
You've anything? Gotta wrap it all up right now on spot.
Oh man, that's big pressure.
What have you learned as a teen? Do you want me to revisit this at the end?
Yeah, maybe we'll circle back because it's only kind of a little bit of an existential crisis when you realize like, oh, this has been all of probably the most formative years of my life up until this point. Now they're over and now I'm in my 20s. What?
Not your 20s.
Not my 20s. I'm not a teenager anymore. I never will be again. At the end of this part of my life, I'm going to be like a whole, like a real adult.
Well.
like a whole one.
You know, as a counter argument, hi.
The older you get, this is what I think at 37, and maybe someday I'll change my mind. There are no real adults. We're all... That's fair. We're all doing the best we can and wondering when the adults will show up.
Yeah.
I keep waiting to wake up one day and I'll be an adult. Like, aha, I've made it. Now I have like sincere beliefs and I know what I'm doing.
I feel certain about things.
Nope.
Well, think about it. Think about your teen advice. We'll revisit. Okay. We'll give you the length of this podcast to come up with a summary of your teenage years.
Okay.
That should be plenty of time. I saw a TV show. I don't want to talk about it, but maybe someday in the future called Teenage Bounty Hunters.
Wait, sorry. I just want to point out that the show is about like various medias. Uh-huh. And you started... like around when we should probably start talking about the actual part of our show, you said, I saw a TV show. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, okay.
I saw it.
And then we just end the episode.
Wouldn't it be great if that's where the sentence ended? I don't want to talk about it. No, I do.
Do you want to talk about it?
I just wanted to mention that if anybody's looking for a new show, Teenage Bounty Hunters on Netflix was really good.
Uh-huh.
And I liked it. It's good, Tay. Trust me, it's good.
I don't like this idea of teenage bounty hunters.
Oh, it's funny.
Is it? It's not like a reality TV, right?
Oh no no no. No,
I don't know. I don't trust America anymore. Maybe there's a show about like 15-year-olds rolling up on criminals.
Twin sisters who go to like a really conservative Christian school accidentally become bounty hunters.
As it happens. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there you go. It reminded me of some shows I had joined in the past. It has a little bit of Buffy and it has a little bit of Veronica Mars in it.
There we go. So you had a plan.
I had a plan because, you know, we're going to talk about Veronica Mars.
Yes.
Taylor, I'm excited because you had never seen Veronica Mars before this past week.
Correct.
Did you like it?
I did. It was not what I was expecting. I knew that like it was like a private investigation thing, but I was thinking like slightly older Harriet the Spy. I assumed it was going to be kind of like cute and like very WB, and it was very dark. Like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes there. It has a lot of heavy stuff in it, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the characters. I thought the writing was really smart. I like the noir sense that doesn't go too far that it takes it out of reality.
Here's what's weird. Since you are the newest to it, it was never. I mean, it has a very like strong cult following, but it was never like it never achieved mass popularity, which is why it got canceled eventually.
See,
and you had to have what was it, like a Kickstarter to make the movie.
And then I think like another like petition or whatever to get the fourth season.
So like it was always like the fans demanded it and the networks really weren't interested in it. Yeah. Kind of show. And I never quite understood why, because like the OC ran a long time and I feel like it fits in with those sort of teen drama-y kind of shows. Yeah. Or like Dawson's Creek. You know,
this seems like I mean, even the kind of thing that more people would have enjoyed watching than those people who enjoyed watching The OC and Dawson's Creek when they were on TV. Because, like, I feel like those shows were somewhat limited. And, like, if you had older people or, like, adults, whatever, watching them, they might think they're a little silly. But Veronica Mars, to me, was always, like, I feel like adults could get into this. Like, it's got some mystery. It's got some intrigue. But it's about teens, so teens can get into it. I've never gotten why more people haven't seen it and don't like it.
I just wonder if it's, I mean, the era that it came out in. Because this came out, what, like early 2000s?
Yeah. I'll have to look up the exact year, but around then.
I mean, because I'll be honest, like, and I guess, you know, we're talking about Veronica Mars. There's some pretty heavy plot points in there. There's some, you know, trigger warning for sexual assault is a theme in the first season. And that's something that I could see, like, at the time it came out, the fact that that's a huge, she's investigating her own sexual assault throughout most of the first season. That's a pretty heavy, like, thing to have. I think it's great. I think it's a very powerful, like, element to the story. But for when it came out, I feel like that would have maybe turned a lot of people off as, like, oh, that's, I don't want to watch that. That's not fun, like, teen drama. That's real life drama. It is, that is thing that unfortunately teenagers deal with, but
yeah, you
know. That's true. Yeah, 2004 okay. when it came out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that, because I also wonder if part of it wasn't that kind of like you said, you didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, if you look at Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
it's in the title.
You know what you know what you're walking into. Whereas I think when I first I forget who convinced me to try it out. But I had no idea what I was about to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I had really no idea. I had heard the name of the show, but I couldn't have even told you that it was about a private investigator.
Yeah.
So I feel like it didn't, the concept of it did not get widely known for people to be like, huh, that might be something I'd be interested in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was one of those shows, I should add, this came out in 2004. I did not start watching it when I was 4 years old. It was one of those that I think when the movie came out, I was at your house, Sydney, I think.
I believe this
is
right.
And you and Justin wanted to watch the movie, and you told me, like, oh, no, this is great. You'll love it. You'll love this. And then I watched the movie with you all without ever having seen the first seasons. And then I liked it, and you convinced me to go watch the other seasons. And that is what I did.
Yeah.
But I was probably only, I mean, whenever the movie came out, I was 12 or 13, something around there.
I mean, I know we were giving you the DVDs,
yeah.
So that dates it already.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was watching it on like a streaming service or anything at that point.
No.
But yeah, and then I was into it by the time the newest season came out, just, what, a year ago? Two years ago? So I watched that in real time. But
One thing that I always liked about Veronica Mars, which, as we've, if you're not familiar with it, it is, she's a teen PI.
Her dad's a real PI.
Yes. And there's a whole backstory to, like, why she used to be kind of in with the in crowd at her high school, where there are, like, there's a group of very, like, rich, you know, kind of stereotypical, like, popular, sort of mean kind of kids, and then fell out with them. And is now sort of an outcast, and also investigating the death of her best friend, the murder of her best friend. And this is like the setup of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. One of the things I really like about it is the relationship between Veronica and Keith Marsh, her dad. I love that throughout the whole show. It's a very like, they're close, because as you learn, Veronica's mom is an alcoholic, and so she is, like, in and out of her life, in and out of treatment, and then sometimes kind of vanishes, and so doesn't play a huge role in her life. And so it's mainly just her and her dad together, and they're very close in that sense, but then also, like, she's totally independent, and he gives her the, you know, like, he trusts her to take care of herself and that kind of thing. And I don't know, I just thought it was a really nice father daughter relationship there. Very empowering. You don't see a lot of that on TV.
I
was expecting at the early episodes that it was going to be like, oh no, she's sneaking around behind his back and solving cases that he just wants her to stay out of it. And then the fact that he was like, oh, look into this for me, like, book my trip, like, investigate this person. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, that was really refreshing. I didn't expect that.
He certainly doesn't want her to be in harm's way, but at the same time, he understands that to a degree, she is capable mm-hmm. of looking out for herself and, you know, that kind of thing. And
yeah,
I don't know. It was just, it's a very admirable and progressive kind of look at a, when you see, I think that relationship modeled a lot on television, especially in teen shows, it's all very like, protect my little princess. Mm-hmm. And it is yeah. not that at all. And I thought that's very refreshing.
Yeah. Especially for 2004, mm-hmm. for when that came out, you know.
Yeah.
That wasn't.
A million years ago.
Yeah. A million. That was 16. That was a, yeah. That was a million years ago.
It may as well be a million years ago.
But also, it's Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Is Veronica Mars.
Oh.
It just makes it that much better.
I guess I should say, you know.
We hadn't mentioned that, but like, I just feel like that really sets it up for people who, like, you know, maybe haven't seen it, but like, Good Place fans.
Frozen
fans.
It's so weird because forever to me, Kristen Bell is Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
And it was cool to look and be like, oh, look, Anna's played by Veronica Mars.
It's like, no, wait.
Oh, look, Veronica Mars is in this new show, The Good Place. Like, that is how Kristen Bell, yeah. that is in my headspace. That is who she is. forever.
It was hard for me to adjust to see her as a teenager at first, because she hasn't aged. She still looks the same.
She looks exactly the same.
Yeah, but I've always seen her as like an adult, so seeing her playing a teenager, I'm like, no, that's like a 30-year-old woman. Nope. It's just that she still looks like a like an 18-year-old woman.
How old was she? Do you know when she did Veronica Mars? Because she was supposed to start out as 16 or 17.
Yeah. Well, because she,
let me see. Because the question is, how old is she? It started in 2004,
mm-hmm.
And she's 40.
So
she's 3 years older than me.
24.
So I guess older than
16.
Yeah, she was older than her character.
Older than she was supposed to be, but still.
It
was believable.
But believable.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting, though, that I think when you look at the reboots of it, like, your original, what, two seasons of the show? Three seasons?
Three, yeah.
Three. That felt very, like, story-driven, you know, and then an unexpected end.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't think the show was going to end there. And then the movie, which was a decade later, probably. And the movie feels like it is very for fans of Veronica Mars. It doesn't feel like it's supposed to be like a plot continuation that like boosts the story in any way. It just feels like this is for you all. You made this happen. Here's all these Easter eggs and characters. And
I feel like it was. I mm-hmm. mean, aside from the fact that quite literally like the fans funded it
yeah.
through a Kickstarter. I feel like a lot of us felt like we were left hanging. Like
yeah.
what is happening?
At the end of the three
we need
seasons.
Closure.
Yeah.
We would love to know. We cared about these characters. Because I was every bit as invested in the characters as I was the story.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that sounds like obvious, but that's not always true.
It's true.
I always use like Lost as a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I was very invested in the story of Lost.
Not the characters.
They thought I was invested in the characters.
Yeah.
But I was very invested in the story and I was dissatisfied. But I was invested in both. And
yeah.
So I wanted an end. Give me a nice little end. And that's what the movie did.
Right.
It's interesting. I read an article that interviewed the creator talking about the uh-huh. movie and how there was pressure. Because it's a fan-funded movie, he felt like he had to do what the fans wanted and mm-hmm. like pay attention to the fandom and like the relationships that they liked and wanted to see come to fruition and, you know, like the characters they liked, and that was a really hard way to write a story that you have in your own head, the direction you see where you're going to go. And I won't get into it yet, but that when he got the fourth season, it was a bit more like, now I'm not going to do what the fans want me to do.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think that's true, because as much as I enjoyed the movie in the sense that, like, thank you, I needed to see these stories play out and I needed to know this ending occurred. And mm-hmm. like, that felt very satisfying. It does feel different. Like,
yeah.
it definitely feels different than all of the, than both the first three seasons and the fourth season that eventually mm-hmm. came. It definitely has a little, like, tonally.
It's a little bit lighter.
It is.
Yeah.
It everything feels a little bit like, almost like the first three seasons were her remembering mm-hmm. those things and like the way that you would remember them through the lens of like narrative and
sure.
all that. And like, was it really that gritty and dark?
Yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's just the way you remember things. Like it felt very different to me. And then once you get to the fourth season, it's like, oh yes,
we're back.
Cause it does have that, like we said, like it's noir. It has that dark, kind of hard boiled, like nobody is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is a quote unquote good guy.
Yeah.
And
there's also no promise that the ones you do like are going to be okay.
No. Or that they're always going to be good people. That was one thing that I felt like may have influenced why the show wasn't as popular in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Is from the beginning, but it definitely grows more as the show goes on, I feel like Veronica is not your stereotypical female protagonist. She's, of course, very lovely and smart, and like those things are always there. Mm-hmm. For the, you know, and she generally has good intentions.
Yeah.
But then there's other sides to her that are flaws. Mm-hmm. And are very much part of who she is. They're baked into her, and some of them harm her or harm her progress in whatever she's trying to do.
Yeah.
And she doesn't necessarily confront them and try to overcome them.
Yeah.
That's a very complex mm-hmm. character for a teen hero, you know?
Well, and I kept waiting for sort of a formation of like a Scooby gang, if you will, in the first season.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she has Wallace, but even that relationship, it's like, well, she uses him a lot, and like he understands yes. that, but it's not like that kind of warm, you know, reliable, like quippy friendship that you get from a lot of the other shows of the same era. There's that sense where she never really has a safe space in it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, it's a constant environment of anxiety that, you know, really is counter to what that sort of teen drama, but there's that safe core of buddies that you've always got at the center of it.
Exactly. I want to get more into that idea, but before I do that,
let's check the group message.
First of all, I told you all about this once before, but I want to talk again about Wild Gears, because I am no artist. I know this is shocking. you have both seen the stick figures I draw, and I know you're both thinking, well, obviously you're very talented in the visual arts. Mm-hmm. And
I like your stick figures.
They always have triangle dresses. But I usually cannot create art with my hands that looks like, well, anything. And certainly nothing you want to look at. But with Wild Gears, they have reimagined the Spire Graph for the 21st century. And I can make designs and art that looks cool and beautiful and interesting and will make people think, hey, she knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
The gears are precise. They're beautiful. They're very satisfying to use. They have all different sizes. I have a whole bunch of them. They all come in different sizes. They're thick. They're really high quality. So you're not going to, you know, accidentally like break them. They're not flimsy. They're really easy to control and get the hang of use while you're doing them. They're relaxing to use on your own if you just, you know, want to make something. If you have some extra time right now and you feel the need to express yourself in a way that maybe you've never tried before in a different medium, this is a great opportunity to do so. And they were fun to play with my kids with, you know. Mm-hmm. They're still accessible for me to like sit down with my daughter and play around with it. And it was like the Spire Graphs we used to use as kids, except a higher quality, better version of that. So, Taylor, if our listeners want to check out Wild Gears, what should they do?
Wild Gears is making art fun, relaxing, and easy with high-quality laser-cut gears. Discover Wild Gears and get your 20% off discount at wildgears.com/stillbuff.
I want to talk about Curiosity Stream. We're supported okay. this week in part by Curiosity Stream, which is like Netflix for documentaries, or as they like to call it, smart TV for your smart TV.
Oh, yeah. That's clever. Get it? I like that. I love documentaries.
Me too.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite things to watch.
The ones about, you know, you got food documentaries, mm-hmm. you got history, you got true crime, you got travel. And Curiosity Stream has all of them. They have thousands of documentaries on their streaming service and nonfiction TV shows on all of those topics and many more. They also even have exclusive programs just on Curiosity Stream, featuring people like Stephen Hawking and Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
And I love Nick Offerman. I don't know about you all, but every time I watch him, I just feel like I'm watching Parks and Rec again.
Mm-hmm.
And I love he's Justin's talk about anything.
Woodworking hero.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. And you can stream all of it from your TV, phone, tablet, or computer. So wherever you can use CuriosityStream. You have it all right there at your fingertips. Taylor, if our listeners want to check out CuriosityStream, what should they do?
They should go to curiositystream.com/buffering or use code buffering to sign up, and just $14.99 for the whole year. So that's curiositystream.com/buffering or use code buffering.
So I think we're getting into one of the things that differentiated the show, like I said, but I also wondered if played into the fact that it was, you know, a little less accessible, is Veronica Mars as the character is very distanced and almost unable to connect to other people. I mean, you accept she has this close relationship with her father, although even at times she hides things from her father. But you really get the idea that she is an island unto herself. She nobody fully knows her, and she keeps it that way. And that's very important to her. And it enables her to be very good at her work.
Yeah.
There are many times where, like, that quality allows her to investigate things in a way that the rest of us would feel very uncomfortable or have difficulty doing, and to pursue whoever, you know, whoever may be responsible for something, no matter how much she thinks she cares or is close to somebody, if she thinks that they did something or she needs to use them as means to an end, she will do it. Which makes, again, makes her a very good investigator, but also makes her a little harder if you are a teen or a young adult. It's a little harder of a character to connect to because most of us aren't like that.
Yeah.
You know,
I was really waiting for the, obviously spoilers, but like in season one, when she both thinks that Logan could have been the murderer of her friends and possibly the person that assaulted her. Like, in both instances, I was waiting for the drama of, oh no, but I'm kind of dating him. And it was just like, okay, great. Gonna let the authorities know. Gonna, like, turn in the evidence.
She's always ready to cut somebody off. I mean, she is ready to turn on people in a second. And I think, you know, you could get into sort of like, are we trying to say that this is born of her trauma? As a result of her trauma, she has this, and now we're kind of saying her inability to connect with people is like a superpower she has, which I think you could dig into that as like, well, maybe that's not the best message, but one way or another, her flaws are on full display throughout the show. And I just think, I think that's impressive for a show like this that is aimed at a younger audience, because especially for female characters, I don't feel like there are a lot of opportunities to be that way.
Yeah.
You're often pigeonholed into the good girl who ultimately in a show like this would probably be the damsel in distress at some point and, you know, like cry and fall apart, or you're the bad girl.
Yeah.
And that's all you are. And it's rare to see somebody who is both and who doesn't, I mean, her arc doesn't like go, but then she learns and she loves and she changes and lives happily ever after. That is not her arc.
I do like that there's no, she falls in love and now is different and has changed. And, you know, now she wants to accept more people into her life and change her line of work and do something less dangerous. Like, no, yeah, she has relationships, but that does not ever change who she is. And that's something I think I didn't like as much when I was watching it the first time, because I was, I mean, probably 8 or 9 years younger than I am now. And I was like, oh, but I want him to have like a cute, like, you know, like fall in love and have a cute relationship or whatever. But now rewatching it to talk about it now, I was like, yeah, that's right. You shouldn't, you know, it's not good to depict these relationships for young girls where like you should fall in love with someone and then change who you are to make yourself more appealing or desirable.
Well, and I
appreciate it more.
I think it also is very, it's very beholden to that kind of more idea where, like, even like, I don't know, like the main love interest being Logan, it's sort of like a gender swap, like femme fatale character, you know, always kind of troubled and just as much bad as good. And it's not, you know, you don't ever expect in those like hard-boiled detective movies that the detective's ever going to settle down and have a family. Things are going to keep going wrong in their relationship because there's a central core to that character that is mistrust and sort of, you know, like not being settled that drives the character forward, which I like that it kind of harkens back to that sort of media.
It definitely does, because every time you think she's going to get some sort of like resolution and peace. They definitely, I feel like there's like a punishment for her again. Like she has to pay again in some way. Mm-hmm. And there's more trauma that has to be suffered, which again feels very noir to me.
Yeah.
Like life never just settles down and everything's fine. You have to, there is more darkness to come always.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get too comfortable, that's when it's going to hit you. And I feel like that definitely, apart from the movie.
Yeah.
Apart from the movie.
Gosh.
That's definitely in there, especially as we move into season four.
Man, season four. I get upset every time I think about it.
And I think in part you see like some of the things we're talking about, is indicated by the fact that a lot of the other characters have moved forward with their lives. Have grown up, and even in ways that are like not particularly exciting,
mm-hmm.
but are very, feel very true. Like Wallace's adult self
feels right.
Yeah,
it feels very right. Yeah. Like, yeah, he wouldn't be into drama.
Mm-mm.
He wanted like a normal, happy, healthy yeah. life. He didn't want all the stuff that Veronica kept bringing into his mm-hmm. sphere, and so he has a very kind of typical grown mm-hmm. up existence. Which makes a ton of sense yeah. for that character. Logan has obviously matured and grown up. You know, he's like going to therapy and trying to get a hold of his anger and all of the like trauma that his father and his youth and everything that was, you know, all of his past. He's trying mm-hmm. to move past that and grow up and be a healthy adult.
Yeah.
Veronica is not in some ways.
Yeah.
She is still stuck. Yeah, she's still stuck. She's mm-hmm. still very much that same person. Because she had gotten her law degree, right?
Yeah, right?
Didn't she actually finish?
Actually, I don't remember. Maybe she didn't finish.
I don't remember. It was from the movie.
She almost got it or she got it.
Either way.
She's still a PI, like, though.
She had... Yes. Yeah. Well, she had the opportunity to go and
be a lawyer.
Be a lawyer and do other things with her life, and she returned to Neptune and was a PI.
Yeah.
And is fine with that. Or at least as fine as Veronica is with anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Veronica seems to thrive on like upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
So
on chaos.
Yeah, to some extent. I do like the consistency of Dick Casablancas.
Oh my gosh. I was hoping we were going to talk about Dick Casablancas at some point.
Well, I just really had to take what I was like, wait, so you're telling me there are the two characters in this show and their names are Dick and Beaver, and we're just going to just okay, sure.
Yeah.
Roll yep. with it.
They're just there.
They're there. Dick Casablancas is always Dick Casablancas.
It's funny because I hated Dick Casablancas, and Justin always got such a kick out of Dick Casablancas.
Yeah, I did too.
And I always thought, like, how can you think he's funny? He's so terrible. And it wasn't until like I got older and rewatched it that I was able to like, okay, well, I can kind of appreciate Dick Casablancas from afar. He was consistent too. Like yeah. his character never. I mean, like, that seems like a... Because the thing is, you want somebody like Dick Casablancas to get what's coming to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially in from a high school sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, smug and rich and just a jerk.
Yeah.
And you just want to see, like, oh, well, you're going to peak, buddy.
Yeah.
Enjoy it now. The future belongs to us nerds.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, the truth is they usually...
That doesn't happen.
They do okay.
Yeah, they do fine.
It's not fair. It sucks. And maybe they'll grow and change and be good people, or maybe they'll be Dick Casablancas, but there are Dick Casablancases in the world.
The other thing I want to talk about, which is a spoiler, I think, for a lot of the show, in case you haven't watched it or want to watch it, is Veronica's relationship with Logan.
Yes.
Which now, is a big recurring thing.
Did you think early on that Duncan was going to be her?
Yeah, I
did. Did you think they were setting up for a reunion between her and her we find out not brother.
Yeah. So you think it's her brother and you're like, whoa, what? And then not brother.
There's a weird moment where it's like, what? Where is this going? Yeah.
I watched most of the first season and then kind of jumped around in the second and third so I could get to the fourth. But man, does anything go as hard as the first season? Because it's like maybe incest, like assault, like lots of death. Like, that's a lot in one season.
Yeah. I mean, it's all jam-packed in there.
You see the secret pregnancy, right?
Oh, with Duncan? Yeah. That was a wild way of getting rid of his character.
That was a whole wild... it does. I would say it goes as hard. Because that was a wild, true. That whole plot line. And they really fooled me with the end of that. Like, his disappearance and everything.
Yeah. Man, I'd forgotten about all of it until I rewatched it. And then you just... All these crazy things that come back. And you're like, they really went there with every single character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
But I did think Duncan had good... development in his mm-hmm. character. Like, I do think he was one of the characters that, even though he kind of faded out of importance, I guess, throughout the show, that his character got a good arc, I think.
Yeah.
And went from like this troubled, angry teen to a better person.
Well, I think it takes a while for you to be able to start seeing him not through Veronica's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because Veronica views so many people kind of as to, like, what are they to her?
Mm-hmm.
What is their relevance, you know?
Well, and then so many people, if you're looking at just how they're relevant to her, then aren't relevant to her.
Right.
So it's just like, well, they don't matter.
And like, I think Veronica gets very wrapped up in her own loss with her best friend, but does not think as much about the loss for Duncan, you know, especially since for a while he believes he... killed her.
Accidentally killed his sister.
Which he did not.
But. Yeah.
But then Veronica and Logan.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, the first time around, I didn't see that coming.
No. Really?
When they first start making out, that's the episode with Jonathan Taylor Thomas there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I read an article before I started watching the show. I don't know. But it mentioned the relationship. And then I started watching it. I'm like, the guy that's knocking out her headlights with a crowbar? That's the one? That's her big relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This butthead?
You know?
It's a very... I will say that to me echoes of Buffy and Angel and Spike there.
Yeah, but at least they had like redeeming, like charming qualities. This guy was just a big old butthead. I don't know.
Cindy likes Logan.
Yeah, I don't. All right.
He has the ability to be charming.
I liked older Logan better than young Logan. Like, Logan in season 4, I was like, okay. I mean, he's just kind of there, but he's working through his stuff. But the young one, like, Sorry, I agree
Logan
to disagree.
Logan in season 4.
Well... For when he was
just,
there.
I got, this is the...
He's quite nice looking.
Yeah. This is the, I guess, the talk about the end of season 4, right? I feel like we have to.
They set you up towards the end of the original series for this, like, Logan has to be the true love because of the speech in the hotel room with the, what is it, years and blood and... Oh, what is he? It's the name of the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
About how much they have been through together and he loves her and all that stuff. And
yeah.
You think they're... I mean, and also they both, which we've talked about before, I don't think Veronica is much so as Logan, but they're both flawed. Like, it's not like you have this perfect character getting dragged down by a bad person or vice versa. Like, they both have their stuff going on and they kind of just find... comfort in each other's baggage, almost.
Years, continence, bloodshed.
Yes.
That's what it is. Yeah, but now, to some extent, they bring out the worst in each other.
Yeah.
I will say, too.
Yes.
Like, they're not necessarily a good pair in that way.
Mm-hmm. But you just want them together. I just wanted them together.
Well, I never thought Duncan could keep up with Veronica, and I thought maybe Logan could.
Duncan, yeah, and I think that's why when you have Meg come in as a character, like, that makes sense for Duncan.
Same thing with, we didn't even talk about Piz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, That's a great name. I just read that in synopsis. Piz. That's what, season two? Season three.
Three. Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't keep up with Veronica either.
No.
I kind of, at the beginning,
I felt bad for poor...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just felt bad for poor Piz after a while.
Yeah, me too.
At the beginning, I thought Weevil was a pretty good love interest for Veronica Mars. I thought that was someone that could actually keep up with her.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about him. I liked Weevil a lot.
He was one of my, if not my favorite character.
Yeah, that's who I was shipping at the... That was where my money was.
It's a good ship. It is. It's a good match. And like, if you look at like where Weevil ends up, I like that because he's still sort of involved in crime.
Yeah.
But in like a very fatherly way.
Fatherly crime.
It's a crime, you know, dad. But I mean, well, it makes a lot of sense for him. Like the idea that he was going to completely get out of that world.
Yeah.
He did not seem like that was his inclination. Just like Veronica was never going to just like, I don't know, become a lawyer, join the FBI and just kind of like she was always going to be walking that line between doing what's good and what's not good.
Yeah.
And I feel like Weevil's there, too.
Yeah. I do think, though, that because Weevil is such a good character, that's why he couldn't have been with Veronica, though, was because I feel like he was one of the only people that like was ready and always there to call Veronica out whenever she was doing something that wasn't great, or like vice versa, would be there to help her, but then recognize when he was being used, kind of in the same way Wallace did, which I think Veronica just did that with a lot of people in her life.
She does. But
I think that Weevil was a good counterbalance, is like a good partnering there, like in a platonic sense, because they kind of keep each other in check, I guess. But also, Weevil's just a good character.
He is. He's a great character. I was devastated at the end of the series, though.
We have Logan and Veronica together.
And it seems really happy. It really is classic, like, our hard-boiled PI has, like, waded through all of the moral gray zone to find goodness, honesty, truth, to like reach out and connect to another human and be vulnerable and finally like leave all that darkness behind is what the implication is. And she is going to get married and is ready to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then Logan gets blown up
by Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
God, man, I
love that my love for Patton Oswalt outweighs any love I had for the character of Logan. I was just like, all right.
I knew it the whole last scene. I was watching that whole last scene right leading up to it. Well, not the very last, but you know what I mean? That scene. And I could tell. You can tell by the pacing what's coming. Like, you can just read it. Like, he's going to die. He's going to die. Why is he going to die? And then you're figuring it out with her why he's going to die. And it's just like...
See, I guess I was just so into it emotionally at that point where I wasn't really paying attention to all the things pointing to his imminent death. So when it happened, I was like, oh, what? And then I thought, well, maybe he didn't really die. Maybe he just got hurt. And maybe like this is like out of sequence and out of time. And this is like something didn't happen. This didn't really happen. But no, then there's a time jump and Veronica's in therapy. Mm-hmm. And talking about Logan dying.
I was in denial.
I tried to convince me for a while that it didn't really happen and you thought they had tricked us and that maybe he was still alive.
If you see a body, that's why they do that on TV. If they don't show you a body, they're leaving room. I was very determined to not believe that he was gone, but... I think he's gone.
And it makes sense because she can't be happy. She can't be settled. She can't leave the darkness. That's the whole point of her character. I don't love that for her on a personal level, but you know, that's how that's the noir aspect coming in again. Like your hard-boiled PI can never rest.
Right. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. That had to be the only ways that this show could go, especially if they were, I assume, planning on another season at that point.
Yeah, that's certainly what it seemed like.
Was for her to lose again and she had to lose big because it had to be a big enough loss to undo all the growth, all the like hopefulness, all the trust, all the belief that things could be good. You have to undo it all. And so the loss had to be big. And Logan was the natural choice, I think, in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only other loss that could have echoed that would have been Keith. Which I wonder if the reason for that is just like, but Keith is so good. Don't lose
that
Keith.
That had to have been a debate, though, right? Like, which one do we get rid of?
I can't lose Keith. And you free her without her being in a relationship,
yeah.
You know, because she was trying to squash the more like damaging aspects of her personality, like address those in her relationship with Logan. Her dad is not going to demand that of her.
Sure.
And if she was in a marriage, that would have, I mean, yeah. She would have at least had to like go to therapy and work on those things.
And at least if they're setting it up for another season, I don't know if that's happening ever.
Who knows?
But at least you know that her dad being there for her, I feel like you can count on the stability of their relationship to get her through losing Logan and to keep her doing what she does. But I feel like if it would have been the other way around, you would have ended up with a character that you wouldn't believe would still be with Logan and like having this happy life and settled if her dad would have been the one to go.
It would have been constant like them fighting and her going out to do things and try to like solve things and demand retribution for this and Logan trying to get her to stop. And I think that's a less interesting story.
I agree.
If either of you could make the trade and have the story end with Keith kicking it instead of Logan, would you?
No. I can't.
As much as
I love Logan, I love Keith more.
I will stand Keith Mars forever. I can't, no.
He is my favorite TV dad, I think, of all TV dads.
Yeah, I would not. I mean, I hate it on some level. And I mean, this just speaks to the kind. I get it from a narrative perspective, from the kind of show it is, from the story you're trying to tell. I understand all that.
Yeah.
For me, I just wish all shows could be about, like, people being nice to each other and getting along.
Well,
and
is that why you like Terrace House so much?
Yes. I mean, why can't we all just, you know, why can't we start with when people end up together and just go from there?
Sure.
I don't know if that would have quite the same tone as the rest of Veronica Mars. Now they're just working through their marriage and figuring things out along the way.
I like happy endings as beginnings and then just happy
throughout the whole thing.
No, but I do think it is true to the, I mean, it is, that's the kind of story they're trying to tell. We're not as used to seeing it, I think, with a female protagonist, and especially with the way the show starts as a young female protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very unique casting. But if you look at that, if you switch it to a male and you made him an adult, that story is over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know, we have lots of examples of that. So it makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
But thank you for watching it, Tay.
Yeah, no, I want to go back and watch the stuff in between. I skipped around to get the major plot points, but I'll definitely go back and finish it.
There are a lot of funny parts. I mean, it's clever.
Mm-hmm.
It's witty. It's well written.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the few teen shows that transitioned to college, and it was still good.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes that jump well. And there are a lot of other characters that are funny and interesting that show up throughout, like repeat characters and stuff. So it's well worth it.
This is just an aside, but it reminded me a little bit of Jessica Jones. Kind of had that very similar character, sort of. Like,
oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if either of you watched that. Well, maybe I'll pick that someday. But
All right. Well, thank you both. What's up next, Tay?
So this is a little obscure, but it's a important comic to me. It's a comic by the name of Bug Boy by one of the like originators of Japanese horror comics, Hideshi Hino. So it's a pretty short graphic novel. It's kind of hard to find in print, but I think it's out there on the internets in scans. And so. Kind of like Kafka, but cute, and also with like 10 times more body horror.
Amazing.
All right. I'm excited. Well, I've already read it, but I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. We'll talk about it next week.
All right. Yay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you, listeners. If you want to tweet at us, You can tweet at us at stillbuff. And if you want to email us to tell me why my cucumbers are round or anything else.
Please explain that.
Stillbuffering at MaximumFun.org. And Riley, before we go.
Yes.
You have to tell us. You have to cap off your team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I think that my teen years were a lot cooler and a lot better and a lot more, a lot less dumb choices than maybe I normally would have made if it wouldn't have been for this show and both of you.
Aww.
So that's my recap.
Well, that was very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I got to talk about all my teen years as I was doing them. I know we've been done with that part of the show for like many months now. But, you know, that's where it started. I got to talk about them all and figure things out with y'all's help.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I never know if we're helpful or not. So,
I mean, most of the time helpful. Of course, you know, there were some moments.
Some not.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It is kind of nice. You know, most people, they look back at their teen years and you've got photographs, maybe a journal that you have kept up. You've got a podcast.
Yeah, I have a whole audio journal of like every stupid thing I ever said or did.
Oh, I think go back and bad. Listen to
5 years worth. So it's always that.
Good for you. If you ever decide to have kids, you have such great stuff.
Such great stuff to share with them. Oh, man.
Or hide from them.
Or hide. Yeah, or remove from the internet forever.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you all.
And happy early birthday.
Thank yes. you. Next time we all talk, I'll be 20.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, I'll tell you on the day, but it feels official.
Thank you for clarifying that you would tell me happy birthday on,
yes.
on my birthday.
That's the one you get. No more.
Say it once a year. Okay.
6 days early, I guess that's fine.
All right. Well, thank you, Riley. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Mind.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am still buffering.
And I am too.
Happy birthday. I'm singing my birthday. Then you'll get the one happy birthday song out of the way, and then no one will sing to me on my actual birthday.
I already sang the first line, so that one's done.
I only get one repeat of it.
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, schmanners. Get it?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.